Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 13th of September. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County CAO, or Chow.
I like that.
Alicia Hayes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nobody's called you that yet?
Nobody has called me that
really?
Yet. No,
oh.
I like it.
Yeah, now everybody will start leaving.
It beats Madam CAO, that's for sure.
Really?
You got
that one?
All the time, Madam CAO. What is that? Makes me feel old.
Well, I know what a madam is. Well, no, okay. In literature, I know what a madam is. Yeah, that wouldn't be one I would think you would want to aspire to.
It is not what I aspire for. Mm-mm.
But, you know, it'd be a kick in the pants to have some business cards drawn up that way.
We'll leave that one right there.
Yeah. Fine. Did anybody warn you? We've got a new book.
Nobody warned me. No, the Little Book of Answers.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, you ready?
Oh, man. I'm scared.
Okay. You'll love this one. How did feminists come up with the expression male chauvinist pig?
Oh, boy. This goes right into the Madam CAO.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I was thinking some of the egg background, too. Yeah. Any clue?
No clue.
The word chauvinism originally meant excessive patriotism and came from the name of Nicholas Chauvin, a French general, who was known for his extreme devotion to Napoleon Bonaparte. Male chauvinism became a description of a man preoccupied with masculine pursuits during the 1950s, and the word pig, drawn from a slur on police, was added by the women's movement in the 1970s.
All right.
So it's a guy's name.
There we go.
Huh, interesting.
Who knew?
Yeah, probably don't want to share that one with certain.
Yeah, we'll leave. We won't.
Certain
tell.
Bodies inside the courthouse.
We won't tell
huh?
Hansel about that one.
Yeah, yeah. Dear Billy, no.
He's probably listening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're texting, the phone is in the office. It's not with us, so you have to use Alicia's. So, what's keeping you up at night these days?
Oh, man. Well, you know, there's always something keeping me up. The big thing for us these days are budgets. We're working through a lot of tough budget. We were just talking about inflation. So it's a rough economy right now. And it's hard to make the ends meet. It started, it felt like, in Humboldt. It kicked off here with cannabis, sort of nosediving. And
was that really a surprise?
No, definitely wasn't. But as we were watching the tax numbers, you know, Humboldt started to see the quickest decline in sales tax. We weren't seeing our sister counties decline as quickly as we are.
Really, Mendocino didn't take a hit as quickly?
No, Humboldt was definitely in the forefront there. But now it's the whole state. The whole state is in the tank for sure, and they're matching us. So we're not a unicorn now in this arena. So not that I'm happy about that, but we're definitely not the oddball out.
Does that almost set it up for the state to do more pass-throughs and push the financial responsibilities down?
That is, you know, I am obviously super concerned about the general fund. You know, that's my sort of baby. That's what I am most concerned about and what, you know, the board and I have the most control over. But as the problems become more of a state issue, we start to worry about health and human services and grant funding and other things. And so, yes, we're going to start watching, you know, the Director Beck's budget and start to see what those impacts on those services are going to look like. And we certainly do expect to start to see some impacts there.
Does the county have any juice at the state or counties, whether it's CSAC or, you know, Rexy and his rurals or whatever it might happen to be? At the state level with the electeds, not Senate and Assembly, but the statewide positions.
Yeah, well, and Senator McGuire was just made Speaker, so that is a huge benefit for us right now. We certainly do have some influence there. I'm not sure where you're going with the fire insurance here, but
lack of access.
Lack of
and what it is doing to home sales, home purchases, cost of living, mm-hmm. just everything. And, you know, in the past, the state insurance commissioner, nobody knew about them since that position was created. And now there just seems to be a lack of activity there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it's impacting you and the yeah. other 57.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to be lighting a fire under them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there is some rumors that Senator McGuire might be moving into the insurance commissioner's seat. I don't know. You know, they're saying that that might be a placeholder for him. I'm not sure where
you're not that close to him.
I'm not sure what his long term goals are. And I'm a CAO, not a politician. So we'll see.
But you hang out.
We'll see. But I have had some real estate agents reach out to me and say, hey, what can we do to start to impact how the fire insurance rates and the ISO ratings in Humboldt County are impacting us, you know, particularly up in like the Trinidad area. They're seeing
as you get closer and closer to the trees.
Exactly. Yeah. They're seeing rates that, you know, they're going up so exponentially that the cost of buying a home it's becoming out of reach, right?
Well, you mentioned Trinidad and it's probably out of reach for most of us to start with, let alone another kick on top of that.
Yeah.
But even the entry level.
What
Peter, I think, had this morning, the median price of home sales or home value, I think it was sales, was $450,000.
Yeah.
Last month, something in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's no fire insurance on that $450,000.
Yeah.
On top of that, and all of a sudden, it just, you know, it doesn't matter. As everybody's recognizing, we have housing shortage.
Mm-hmm.
You add a bunch of $1 million homes, who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be in those.
Yeah.
And is that a driver right now at the county? Is housing stock?
Not as much as sales tax, but they tend to be reciprocal, right? We see our sales tax fall first, and then as sales tax start to rise, then our property taxes start to fall. So certainly it'll be an indicator of our economy as it starts to fluctuate that we're going to keep our eye on.
Yeah. Big eye on that one.
Mm-hmm.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Alicia Hayes. As you look at the county situation overall right now, Alicia, do you know? I had occasion to be inside the Pink Building yesterday, and a lot of compliments to the auditor controller and the progress that's been made.
Yeah,
but progress isn't completion.
Yeah.
Are you feeling comfortable that the numbers are kind of, more solid?
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, yesterday we got some really great news. We were released from the litigation with the state controller. So that was fabulous news, a big milestone in the last, year and 2 months since Cheryl's been in office. She's closed 3 years, she's completed 2 audits. She's simultaneously working on closing 2 more years. So she's really on track. I think that by the end of this calendar year, she's going to have us on solid footing. We expect to bring to the board in February a mid-year report where we'll be able to give them solid estimations of where we've ended for fiscal year 22-23 and let them know where we're at for 23-24 And, you know, we've been talking about how we have a significant structural deficit in the general fund, and we've been talking about how we might have to do some staffing reductions. And that's going to be the point where we're going to let them know how much we have to get us through the current year and potentially to finance fiscal year 24-25. And whether or not we're going to have enough to get us through that year, or if we're going to have to start to discuss staffing reductions and lay out that mapping plan. And having that solid footing on where our financial position is going to be paramount. Also included in that is getting our cost allocation plan back into current standing, which has been significantly delinquent. And so we further expect that we'll be back up to date by the end of the fiscal year, end of the calendar year with that as well.
All right, you whipped out two jargon phrases here you're going to have to backpedal on.
Yep, sure.
When you say structural deficit, my impression of that is things are out of whack and they can't be covered unless there's outside pennies from heaven getting dropped in.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that close?
That's pretty close. Yeah. Basically, our expenditures at this point in time are exceeding our revenues in the current fiscal year by over $17 million. So fortunately, over the tumultuous years that we've had, we've been pinching pennies. And so we have a lot of money in our savings account. So we started this year with $40 million. And so we're using that as our savings account. And we're going to spend that down fast with that. We put in a
basic math.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. $17 million shortfall. It's going to go. Yeah. It's going to go away quickly.
Yeah, is some of that, these programs where the financial responsibility was shifted from Sacramento to local and just not, you know, they'll give you $5, but it costs $7 to operate, and it's just a slow grind down, or are these deficits from other things?
It's a compounding situation of what we gave significant pay increases to staff, and we had significant cost increases. There's been inflation, right? So our costs have gone up for services and supplies. Our costs have gone up for fuel. You know, overall,
all the stuff we see at home.
Right. And then we've also lost a significant amount of revenue for cannabis. Our excise tax, a couple years ago, we pulled in $18 million. This year, we budgeted nothing. And that's just in our excise tax. On top of that, planning and building is not pulling in the revenue that they were used to.
What was that about? I mean,
Well, the board totally waived the excise tax for two calendar years.
Was there any discussion of substance with that? If you staff people in to handle specific function, and then you pull that function out, you would think that kind of like with a grant, it ran out. You know, love to talk to you down the road when there's more money, but right now it's not there. That job function doesn't exist anymore. Bye.
Yeah, the thought from the board perspective is, you know, that giving the cultivators this reprieve is to stabilize that market, right? The cannabis industry is a staple industry in Humboldt County, and it is fledgling, to say the least, and so I think that this was a dramatic effort on the board's part to try to save that industry. Whether or not that's helping at this point.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it working?
Yeah.
Or do you know if it's working?
You know, I think the anecdotal out there is sort of up in the air. You know, just yesterday, Supervisor Bushnell said to me that they're still struggling. But I've also had conversations with Natalyn DeLapp that, you know, she's seeing some increases in things in 2025 that, you know, they're going to be in a better. That's 2025 is when the tax is supposed to go back into place. So, you know. I think it's still yet to be seen that they're in the middle of pulling this year's harvest. And so I think there'll be some data sets that we'll be able to glean some information this year from.
I mean, they still do the old traditional harvest season?
I think they do.
The impression is everything's inside now, right? You get the extra seasons. At least outside looking in.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Alicia Hayes, Humboldt County CAO. We talked about structural deficit. That was one reference that you had made. Cost allocation plan.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds like somebody was buying a new thesaurus and was trying to use a new word.
Yeah,
my current warpath word is collaborative.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, let's use the simple word that people know what it is. Cost allocation plan.
Yeah.
What in the world does that mean?
Yeah. Cost allocation plan basically allows for the county to provide services internally, right? So I provide a service to the sheriff. Right. I provide an administrative service to him. And so I have staff in my office. And so the cost allocation plan allows me to charge that service out. And then the sheriff gets grant funds or asset forfeiture or whatever it is. And then he's able to pull those grant funds down, or Connie Beck's department.
So they use services. Your charge as a way to offset the match for some of these grants?
For some of the grants. Yeah. Yeah, so it provides a justification when you're pulling down state and federal funds for the charges of the internal services that are provided. The auditor, controller, the treasurer, tax collector, payroll,
so
human resources.
So when you do budget, I'm trying to follow this now, so it's internal department to internal department.
Mm-hmm.
Does that still apply?
Yes.
That has to be a budget item?
Yeah.
That Alicia's office is going to charge whatever I might be in charge. Okay. For purposes of this example, for whatever I might be in charge of, $50,000. And that gives me X number of hours of your department to do whatever it is that might have to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, and we base it off of what our department's charges were 2 years prior. So we say, okay, 2 years ago, this is what our department's charges were, and this is what the services we provided to other departments were. And so we say, this is how much your costs are going to be for us this year.
So these silos,
it's a set cost.
These silos that exist, does that tear at the concept that it's Humboldt County team?
I mean, it helps us share the cost, right? It helps us pull down the cost that it is to provide government, right? So that we can share in the expense that.
But if Department Papstein doesn't need anything, or I would rather have somebody on my staff to handle whatever it is.
Well, we track that, right? So if you don't come to me and say, hey, Alicia, I need help from you,
right?
Then we don't charge you.
Okay.
If you don't need, so let's say IT services, right? If you don't need a computer, which you're going to need a computer.
Or I've got a guy in my department that has those abilities.
Yeah.
Can they do it on their own, or do they have to go to wherever to get those services provided?
Depends.
Either way?
Depends. Not for IT, because there's security issues there, right? We don't want you having an IT guy going into the systems and programming, you know, your all your things. We want our IT guy doing that. So it depends. Right. Well, we don't want your person doing accounting work necessarily.
But they have to do some level, don't they? To give it to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is still
if you have the expertise, but maybe you don't. Maybe you're a small team and you're not. It's not productive for you to do that work.
So it's the equivalent of having a staff member then in these other departments.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do you keep track of all this stuff?
We do timesheets and cost reporting, and so you know it's check marks and tick marks and reports and a lot of accounting and report polling and spreadsheets, and we have robust systems to keeping all of this data. And
is everybody on the same software system now? I know that there had been in the past some had this and some had that, and they weren't able to talk to one another. Is everybody in the same system now?
I mean, it depends on what. For finance, yes, by and large, we all use Finance Enterprise. That is our core finance system. But other people have other tools for different purposes, right? So it depends. Like sometimes you have a need for grant tracking. So you might have an offshoot.
I would think that would be a need, yes.
Yeah. So it depends. Like there, each department has different needs. Like we are a big beast and we have robust needs. Like Health and Human Services is a great example. They are half of the organization. They manage more than $300 million in funds
and lots of grants,
hundreds
and tracking.
Of programs. Yeah. Yeah. So they do have some of their own software systems that are very specific to their program needs. And sometimes they have very specific health data processes that they have to track. So not everybody is
right.
in the same system.
Yeah, I figure there's some proprietary to whatever the niches are.
Yeah.
So when it comes to budgetary requirements, let's say they've got a program that is required or mandated by some of these grants and that has changed, are those dollars able to be found?
Yes. All of our finances are in Finance Enterprise.
Which is that computer software program you just referenced.
Yes. Okay. And that is our finance system.
You didn't lose me too fast on
that
one.
And that is what our auditor controller runs out of. That is where we pull all of our finance statements out of. Everything is run and tracked through our finance system.
So even more of an overseer?
Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody needs a specific software program, they can still purchase it as long as it's compatible with?
With Finance Enterprise.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's what the IT guys have to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And the auditor controller has to be able to understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why government moves slow. All these checks and balances.
It's a big beast, for sure. Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with whatever the job is that department's supposed to do.
Yeah, and
it's
we
all
have
the internal
complex
stuff.
Needs, right?
Yeah.
And every, 20 different departments with There's, all varying needs and issues and demands.
You mentioned that. Does the state use that same software?
No.
The feds?
Nope.
So somebody has to interpret it or
no, there we are our systems don't necessarily integrate. So we will provide information to them typically through data exports, spreadsheets.
Thanks. Yeah, you realize who you're talking to here. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Alicia Hayes from Humboldt County. She's the CAO. Nobody called you Chow before.
No.
Huh?
No.
I think I'm going to have to get some like Chinese banners.
I know.
Or
I
Italian,
like
pardon me.
Chow.
Yeah. Yeah, bowls of spaghetti start showing up.
I like it. I'm going to make staff call me that. Yeah. Chanel will call me Chow.
Yeah, yeah. Small, weird dogs with funny-looking tongues. With the budgets that were passed effective this fiscal year, are they still in effect? I know that sounds weird.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're sticking to them. We're actually, I mean, at this point in time, you know, like I said earlier, we've got a hiring and freeze in place. We're really trying to come in far under budget, and we're trying to cut expenses as much as we can, because our best bet for next year and to not be in a position where we need to do staff reductions is to have the biggest piggy bank we can possibly have going into that year.
Now, some of the positions, I know some of the senior positions take a long time to recruit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, whether it's in your office or any of the other departments. For those folks that are in those positions where they need somebody and there's a hiring freeze, or I guess even worse, there's somebody in the pipeline and this edict, determination, decision came down. When does the freeze start? No more advertising a job? No more selecting? No more hiring? Where is that freeze and that continuum? Because it is a process.
Yeah, so departments are still able to recruit, but before they make an offer, they need to ask for an exemption to the freeze with me and the HR director. And
so
frankly,
even if it's budgeted, they may not be able to access.
And this is just for the general fund too. So if you're not in the general fund, if departments are funded by state or federal dollars, you know, at this point in time, we're not.
Grant funds are those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those would be able to be hired.
Yep. At this point in time, because we're not really seeing yet that the state isn't saying, "Hey, we're pulling these dollars back yet." So until we see those indicators.
That's a nasty three-letter word.
Yet. I mean, we do expect, right, at some point in time. But until we start to see those indicators, there's no reason to stop providing those services at the same level that we're providing them right now.
How much anticipation, and I guess this would be, to protect the innocent, more of a CSAC question rather than an individual county. But how much do you monitor what's going on politically at the state level?
I mean, a ton.
I mean, with Newsom running for, not declared, but running for president, you know, some of the decisions that may be coming out of Sacramento may not necessarily be the best thing for the state, but maybe better for an individual running for office.
Yeah.
Do you get little whispers that things like that might be coming down the pipeline? Hold on or get ready or any of those types of things? Or are you consuming the news like the rest of us are and either are applauding or head scratching?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the state level, you know, we don't really expect a political shift, right? On the federal level, you could see a shift from, you know, a Democratic Party to a Republican Party. That's more likely
let me rephrase it then. Decisions made not as a governor but as a presidential candidate, but the impact hits at the county level.
Yeah
that might be a little bit more direct.
So when Newsom was up for election in this last, you know, there was a lot of fanfare around homelessness, right? He did a bunch of, "I'm pulling all your funding back and you've got to be accountable." And it was very boisterous. And it definitely raised alarm bells, and our CSAC and our legislative advocates got, you know, very hyphy and came to bat for us and called meetings very quickly, which we were all in the room with Newsom and said, "What the heck is going on here? Like, what are you doing?"
So there's a crack response team.
Yes. So yes. You know, in response to your question, you certainly do see, you know, at election time, you know, some of these powerhouses behave bizarrely.
So
locally and statewide and
I wasn't
federally.
Even going to go there, but I think that's a given. So in the next 6 months, before we get into the primary in California, which at least is back into March and we count, are you holding your breath that things aren't going to go sideways last minute and have to deal with that fallout this fiscal year as well as some of the nasties that you're anticipating for next year?
Yeah, I don't know that we're holding our breath. I think at the county level, we have become very nimble. We learned to become nimble at election season, and we know that the mandates are quick to change. We have our finger on legislative policy. We're watching it early and often. And we're ready to mitigate.
Is there anything that is out there that's either got you really excited that you're hearing whispers about or
Well,
concerned?
Offshore wind, you haven't brought that up. I mean, that's the big thing that we're all...
Yeah, but that's a federal issue, isn't it?
Yes, but...
I mean, we're building them here, but whether or not they're tapped into anything, that's...
Yeah.
That doesn't get played out...
For a decade, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Well, Winston threw the crab, so I guess we're done.
Oh, okay.
Get better, huh?
All right. I'll try.
All right.
I'm going to go home and sleep.
See, tells you how inspiring this show was. See everybody tomorrow.